We're now recording.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the IRTPC call on the 27th of March. And on the call, we have Hago de Falla, James Bladel, Michele Nilon, Avery Doria, Mikey O'Connor, Matt Serlin, Bob Mountain, and Simonetta Battaglia. For staff, we have Marika Koenig and myself, Glenda Saint-Gervais. We've tried to call out to Zaid Jamil, but I think he's probably traveling. And we have apologies from Barbara Knight and Jacob Williams. Thank you. Thank you, James. Over to you.
Thank you, Glenn, and welcome everyone to the IRTPC working group call for the 27th of March, 2012. I think a couple of orders of housekeeping. First off, does anyone have any updated statements of interest? I believe we'll have one taker today. Mikey.
Yep. And thanks, Glenn, for sending a note to the list. I'm now a member of the ISP constituency, and I've updated my SOI.
Thank you, Mikey. And I see you're getting some applause from the virtual applause from the virtual meeting room. Any other statements of interest changes? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to a review of the agenda, which has been sent to the list by Marika. Thank you, Marika, and it's posted in the right-hand column of your Adobe chat room. Does anyone have any questions, additions, comments, proposals, or criticisms of the agenda for today? Okay, don't see any of those either, so thanks for the housekeeping, and welcome back to our Tuesday calls for everyone that was in Costa Rica. Certainly was a pleasure to meet face-to-face and see everyone in person. And I think that it was a good session. Overall, I think we may actually pick up some new members based on some of the feedback that I've heard. And so we'll look forward to broadening the conversation as we go. I think, do we have any new members on this call? Or have any new members joined the list since Costa Rica, Glenn? Or Marika, I guess, whoever's.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. All right, we've had a couple of inquiries, so let's maybe keep an eye out for some folks, and if we don't have any new members, then I'll reach out personally and follow up. So our first order of business today is the work plan. We want to take a review of that. We've hit one of those, I believe, what we would call a milestone or a checkpoint, where we take a look at what we've accomplished, where we are, what we've planned for the next few sessions, and you know, what we foresee coming forward over the horizon. So I wanted to give everyone, and especially Avery, who very graciously has spent a lot of time looking at this and looking at some of the dates and how they line up with upcoming ICANN meetings and document deadlines. So if we could open up that conversation to the schedule, beginning with today's session, March 27th, and going forward through Prague is kind of our next checkpoint. I see Avery has her hand up, so I'll turn it over to her. Avery?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, since I took the first stab at this and unfortunately got it done so late last night that my co-chair and Marika barely had a chance to look at it, I figured I should probably explain what I was trying to do in taking this stab at the schedule and you know, up front admit that it is a first look. Like we talked about in the meeting, all of a sudden looking at Prague, looking at initial report coming out in time for Prague and trying to schedule back from that became a very difficult and scary thing. And, in fact, Marika, after seeing the scary schedule, looked at it and said, you know, maybe we have to start having alternate strategies, so we'll get into that later. But one of the things that I was trying to look at is not quite surrender to we can't make our original goal at this point. So taking a presumption that we have to try and find a way to do that, I played around with the schedule and came with this. Look, today's meeting is pretty much already covered, you know, in terms of recapping from meeting, getting an update and perhaps plans for completion from the current sub-teams that mesh with the schedule, because doing a schedule without having them look at it and say, that's impossible, or, yeah, that could be done, is kind of senseless. And then if we get to it, continuing discussion on item A. Then looking at progressing on how we finish the work from the sub-teams, get cranking on work that may be needed for B in terms of anything that needs sort of a corresponding deep dive like sub-teams are doing now that we haven't looked at. So next time, starting out with an update from the sub-teams, then looking, taking a break from where we're at and looking at B and seeing, do we anticipate any place where some extra work should be done and completed by the time we come back to those discussions. Then going through in basically getting the sub-team A work completed, discussed, looking how it affects the questions that need to be answered yet on item A. This has taken us through 10th April. Using the following meeting to basically bring discussion of item A to draft conclusion so that the initial report can, you know, get, or the draft of the initial report can start being written, although I assume that parts of it are already underway. At that point, defining any issues that still remain unresolved and having a plan for resolving them fairly quickly. Then going into discussions on item B, hopefully the groundwork that was necessary was done.
I didn't know we had a second line until like a couple of months ago.
Excuse me, if you're not Aubrey, could you please put your phone on mute? Thanks.
So then all of a sudden, with that much time left, you look at it, wow, there's like 2 weeks left to talk about B, 1 week left to talk about C, and then start working on making sure that we have a final draft review on the schedule. Now, I don't know that B can be discussed in two meetings if there's enough groundwork and stuff. I'm taking a quick stab on item C that, you know, I guess there's surveys and such, that there's probably not that much to discuss on that. At that point, in terms of getting something into an initial report, and what the initial report may be doing is, you know, reporting on the viewpoints and looking for more feedback. So I don't know that I was being unfair to C, giving it only a day, but perhaps. Then basically reviewing initial reports for 2 weeks, and that's the talking through paragraph by paragraph kind of thing, looking where we still have issues to get discussed. Then there's an initial report, and then, of course, there's slippage planning if necessary if we don't make that. And then one of the options that Marika presented was that, of course, if the initial report is not done, we keep working on the initial report, and we have a workshop that's on where the initial report is at, as opposed to here's the initial report and this is what has, but that's secondary. So that's kind of one way of dealing with slippage if we slip. Now, upfront ways that can be suggested is, gee, maybe we need more time to do the work. And do we meet more frequently? Do we have longer meetings? Do we put more pressure on sub-teams to meet several times during the week to make sure the work's done? I don't know. It definitely is a pressured schedule. I'm not sure that I got the first guesses right, but that's kind of the reasoning that I used to get to what's in front of you. Thanks.
So thank you, Avery, and thanks, I especially appreciate the effort and thought that went into putting this together, and I agree with you that we have a compressed timeline before the Prague publication deadline. I think that might even be an artifact of the calendar. It seems like there was a lot of time between Dakar and San Jose, and I think that we're paying for that a little bit with less time between San Jose and Prague. But maybe that's just my impression, but I haven't actually run the numbers on the calendar, but it seems that's the case. So just initial impressions from the group, anyone see anything that's missing? Have we overlooked something? Have we perhaps given too much time to any phase? I think that's probably unlikely. One thought that I had, and I think it goes back to some of Aubrey's suggestions on how we can perhaps pick up the pace a little bit, would be Aubrey's suggestion to maybe take this work plan and then dial it down into a second level work plan where the sub teams are meeting more frequently to produce something that aligns with these milestones or deadlines. I think particularly with issue A, and to a lesser extent issue B, we can perhaps get something a little more tangible into the group, and then when it reaches the main group, we can at least then have more of a cursory review so that we're not doing a deep dive into the details of all those issues every single call. I mean, obviously, it's certainly the prerogative of every working group member to comment on any piece that they want, but we certainly want to make sure that we're using everyone's time efficiently as well. So it's that balance. And that's one of the reasons why I think that working group sub-teams and the mailing list should probably carry a larger share of the burden. So any other thought? I see Marinka's hand up, but I wanted to make sure that the folks on the working team, especially the sub-team leaders, had thoughts about this. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, James. This is Bob. Yeah, I guess the only question or suggestion I might have is, and Albert, you may have already covered this, and sorry if I missed it, but on April 24th, for example, and May 1st, we've got discussion on item B, and then on May 8th, we move on to item C. So I guess the only thing I would wonder is if there is a way, if possible, to work these in more in parallel rather than serially, if that's an opportunity for us to compress the schedule.
That's a good idea, Bob. If we were to just say item B and C for 3 weeks, it might buy us at least, you know, if one of those issues, particularly item C, doesn't take the entire call, then we could use the balance. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Two suggestions. I mean, one thing that has been done, for example, in previous IRTP working groups is where once there was a realization that, you know, the working group was getting close but needed a little bit more time, you know, working group calls would get extended by 30 minutes or second calls are scheduled during a week. That might be something to consider, you know, later down the road. And just to maybe clarify that the suggestion I had made to Avery on if the group would miss the 1st of June deadline, because that specific deadline is for documents that are intended for discussion and review at an ICANN meeting. So another approach to the group could take, if you know, it looks like the group wouldn't make the 1st of June deadline, but it is able to publish the report before the ICANN meeting or during the ICANN meeting, is to actually say, well, we're not here to actually discuss it or get your input now. This is just our opportunity to present to you the report and present our conclusions, allow you to ask questions, and just, you know, highlight that the public forum is open and that's where we want your input. So basically you turn a little around and justify why you're missing the deadline but still want to take the opportunity to talk about it in Costa Rica, although you're not expecting people to provide input to you on the spot. So there might be some flexibility there if needed, to meet that or if that deadline would be missed.
Okay, thank you, Marika. Good point. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the parallelization that Bob suggested is a really good idea. I mean, certainly, you know, two separate items can be covered in a meeting, and that gives a little bit more time on each of them. So I think that, you know, certainly that's a good idea. and I think all of Marika's suggestions, especially having a checkpoint, you know, perhaps putting in a checkpoint in a month and looking at where we're at on things. And is there a need to add the more meetings and lengthen it, et cetera, maybe a way to intentionally cover that eventuality of sort of saying, yes, on 17th April, you know, we have a checkpoint, if that's the halfway, and I don't know if it is, and maybe 1 May, you know, and realign and make those extra decisions then, but still start out pushing for publication as was originally planned. And if we notice in 3 weeks, 4 weeks that we're not getting there, and you're absolutely right, there are fewer meetings, there are fewer weeks between these two meetings than there were between the car and what was it? Oh yeah, Costa Rica. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, Avery. And I put myself in the queue. I think I am agreeing with everyone that's come so far, and I have a suggestion, which would be that extending the meetings by a half an hour, I think, was pretty effective in terms of what we were able to do in IRTPB. And, you know, I know that it can be inconvenient for schedules, but what I was thinking perhaps is if we plan ahead by just saying that all of the meetings from May 1st to May 29th will be 90-minute meetings. That gives everyone a chance to adjust their schedules to do that. And if you look, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so that'll give us an extra basically, it means we almost have 2.5 extra calls at our current pace in the month of May, which is when we need it. It'll be crunch time. So that would be just one suggestion, is that we plan ahead and just build in that that increase, because I do believe that I think we can make that June 1st publication deadline. But I think that, you know, as a good fallback, it's good to note that that we can still, we don't have to go into Prague empty-handed, that we can at least start more of a discussion paper at that time. And I think that's even, in some respects, that's even preferred, just because I think that people will go to ICANN meetings, they'll attend a workshop, and then they'll say, boy, I sure have a lot of ideas here. I would like to comment on that. But, you know, I'm on vacation after this, or I'm traveling or whatever. And I think that just personally I've never been a fan of is the comment periods that are open during ICANN meetings and that close while you're still, you know, traveling home and unpacking your suitcase, whereas in this case the comment period would open some point after, immediately following that, and would give folks a, maybe a wider opportunity to send their thoughts in. So I just wanted to put those proposals on the table and then go to Mikey.
Thanks, James. It's Mikey. I've got a few ideas that I'll just toss out there. This is a pretty compressed schedule. So here are some ideas to add to the mix. One is I think it's probably not a bad idea to hand the pen for the interim report to somebody and start drafting it now. And treat it sort of like a hologram, where the goal could be to get the report drafted at least in outline very quickly, like maybe within a week, recognizing that then successive iterations of that report, week by week, are going to fill in details, iron things out. We basically, I think, in order to hit this date, are going to have to move pretty much right away into editing mode. If we follow the typical pattern where we have long conversations that sort of wander all over the place, you can look at the mind maps, they go everywhere. I think we're doomed to hit this deadline. But I think if somebody were to draft an outline and sketch out preliminary conclusions, and then we basically went into editing mode for 2 months, that, you know, we stand a chance. Another idea in terms of the report is once the outline is there, hopefully in a level of detail that inspires people, what I've done on very, very short schedule report writing jobs like this is to put the outline out there essentially as a Chinese restaurant menu and say, anybody interested in writing a paragraph about any of these topics, and try and get at least a paragraph or two per outline topic. Again, extremely fast, by spreading the paragraph writing across a whole bunch of people, recognizing that the paragraphs may change a lot by the time the report is done, but at least there's then again something for people to edit against. So that's another idea. And then the final idea is that Marika, James, and Avery may want to initiate something that I typically do on other working groups, where I form an ops team that's the leadership group that deals with essentially issues like this, process issues, separate from the working group calls, so that, you know, on this call we've spent a half an hour of the call on process stuff. We essentially gain a half an hour of time to talk about the issues by removing the process discussion from the call altogether. And, in, you know, if anybody gets bent out of shape about process stuff, then they can go hang out on the ops calls. But that's another way to pick up some time within the meetings themselves. And I think given, again, this very compressed schedule, you might want to think about doing that. So there are my ideas.
Okay, thanks, Mikey. Just a couple of responses off the cuff. As far as starting drafting, I believe Marika has already indicated that she has done that naturally. She's probably reluctant to start filling in findings or recommendations, but at least capturing the outline of the discussion and the topics, I think, would be something that's already underway and can possibly be shared. As per Simonetta's suggestion, although Marika might be a little bashful that it's not up to her usual A-plus standard, at least we can get something out there. The idea of an ops team or an ops call, I think, is a good one. I mean, it would certainly buy us about a half an hour per week, well, this week being maybe unusual, maybe it'd buy us 15 minutes a week at least, if not more. I think that we could also do that via the mailing list and just keep, you know, that going on the list. And then as far as sharing the pen and drafting, I think that once we see Marika's skeleton, we can possibly do that. But I guess I'm not ready to say that we're – I think this is aggressive. I guess I'm not ready to say that we've already missed it. But I think that we should pick up the pace definitely, and I think that those are good suggestions. I got a couple other folks in the queue, but I did kind of want to saw off this part of the discussion and recap our discussions in Costa Rica, especially with the CCNSO, and then get some updates from the sub-team. So, Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to suggest, that we cut this one off. I think we've gotten some really good suggestions. I'll do an update. On talking process stuff in meetings, we've done precious little of it other than this checkpoint, and I think it was necessary to come back to the group periodically and say, this is kind of what the schedule looks like. Can you buy into it? Having done that, I agree we should move on. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Avery, and thanks, everyone, for their suggestions. I think that there's some good ideas here. We'll go back, we'll capture those, and we'll get an updated work plan to the list and probably poll the mailing list for some of the questions on how we'd like to proceed, like whether we want to extend the meetings in May or whether we want to start handing out writing assignments per Mikey's suggestion. So let's move on then to number four. And this is the recap of the session in Costa Rica. I think overall it was a productive session. I think that we did have a good face-to-face meeting. We had a couple of, I felt, thoughtful comments from the participants there and the attendees in the room. It maybe was not a large volume of feedback. It seemed like the room was fairly empty, but those who did contribute, I thought, were excellent. And I believe there were a couple of points that were discussed as takeaways, and I'll have to go back and review whether or not we sufficiently addressed those. One, I believe, was the discussion between Rob Golding and Paul Diaz for PIR. So we just need to make sure we close the loop on that and that everyone's satisfied with that follow-up. After that, several of us then joined the CCNSO in their room, which was all the way on the other side of the compound, and discussed the change of control issue in greater detail and sort of polled many of the CCTLD representatives in the room on their process, some of their challenges, some of their, just the benefit of their experience. Overall, I felt that session was very helpful. I don't believe, and I've looked back through that calendar, I don't believe that was a transcribed session. Marika could possibly prove me wrong, but I wasn't able to find any a transcript of that session. But I can say that we did have discussions, not just with some of the European CCTLDs that are listed here, but even, for example, some of the other less common CCTLDs were able to share some of their experience. And I think that there's a nice list here. Going down even through, if you can scroll down, going down to including folks like New Zealand and Canada, I think were very, very gracious in sharing some of their experiences. We also touched base a little bit with AU and FR. So, anyone who attended that meeting have anything that they would like to add? I think that there were no real, lightning bolt eureka type moments, but I think that overall the exchange was positive in that it indicated that we were on the right track. I think in general the country codes were I'm trying to think here the right word. They were maybe a little, I don't want to say discouraged or a little put off, but maybe kind of recognized that it was our situation was a little different, a little more challenging, and that it was going to be a registrar-centric function as opposed to a registry-centered operation, and that's something that is just one of the distinctions between the G space and the CC space is that they had much more latitude and control over what registrants did outside of the relationship that they had with their registrars. And that's somewhat outside of the model of GTLDs. And so I think that they recognized that was something that was going to be a pretty important distinction between our process and anything that they were currently using. So go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, James. I guess just in terms of feedback, the one thing that jumped out at me was I remember there was a little bit of back and forth, and it started out when we were debating terminology around gaining and losing registrar and the relative appropriateness of those terms, and then we transitioned to the fact that we're somewhat surprised at the feedback that we're getting from people who perhaps weren't weren't participating or weren't paying attention to some of the other, some of the previous work. I think there was some comments that came through from somewhere on IRTPB that certainly caught some of us by surprise. So I think, my only takeaway was, are we doing everything to sort of publicize and solicit comments on the work we do? I suspect yes, but I'm just wondering, based on those comments, if there is a little bit more that we should be doing just to make sure that the larger registrar, organization is fully aware of what we're doing.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. That was a good point. I was also, I remember very specifically, it was in the registrar session, that there were concerns over some of the IRTPB recommendations, and that some folks that wanted to dig up that horse skeleton and start beating it again. And I think Michele probably wants to weigh in on that. But let's I understand. I agree with you. We need to, that should be our indication that we need to make sure that especially registrars we're publicizing this as much as possible. Go ahead, Michele.
I'll keep this short and sweet and monosyllabic. Grr is my comment. I don't know how that's going to work in the transcript. To be perfectly honest, I don't see how we or I can do any more than we've already done in terms of raising awareness of this. I mean, the registrar stakeholder group mailing list, whenever there are any common periods that are open, the execs are informed of this and they inform the membership. We as individual members of the working groups inform the membership. A lot of the domain bloggers blog about all this kind of thing. What more can we do? I mean, I don't know what the analogy is. What are you meant to do? Drag the horse kicking and screaming to the water and shove his head into the water? I'm sorry, I'm not going to do any more here. I'm done. I'm more than happy to do what I do at present, but expecting us to do any more than this, we can't. If people refuse to pay attention to what's going on when they're being sent the emails on multiple occasions, there is nothing we can do about it.
I agree, Michele, and I sense and share your frustration, and I think that...
Well, to be perfectly honest, James, I mean, I got ganged up on at the gala dinner, for Christ's sake. I had somebody in my face for 20 minutes ranting and basically frothing at the mouth about a subject of which there had been like four public comment periods, for God's sake. Two interim reports, God knows how many updates the GNSO.
I share your frustration, but Michele, one quick question, and I don't want to belabor this point, because we are now talking about IRTPB, and we're wasting our IRTPC momentum here, but just, was it more than one person? I think it was just one person that I'm aware of, one registrar.
It was one person in particular.
Okay, so before we say that we have some kind of endemic procedural failure...
We just have one individual
making a lot of noise on this. Okay, all right, thanks. Simonetta, go ahead.
I was just wondering if maybe for Prague we can try to get on the agenda of the registrar stakeholder group, because I think we got some really valuable and good feedback with the CCNSO. And I don't know what the process is to actually get on the agenda and go where the registrars are, because if they don't come where we are, maybe we need to just find 30 minutes in their session, and then really there is no excuse anymore for never having heard of this when you've actually been at their own session.
I agree completely, Simonetta, and that was going to be one of my takeaways from this topic. And then, I just wanted to mention that there have been a number, for those of you who aren't aware, there are a number of high visibility issues going on within the registrar stakeholder group that means getting even 15 minutes on their schedule has been, I want to say that they're a great group of men and women, but they can be very stubborn about their agenda. So definitely want to, continue to push for that idea, and using the example of the dust up on IRTPB as a reason why we can't, let those meetings go without an update on policy. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a note as well, policy staff is normally also requested to provide an update to the registrar stakeholder group on any policy issues that might be of interest to them. And, we always cover and have covered as well IRGP-related issues, as we know that, those are of core interest to registrars. So for sure, this would be included if we're asked again to provide an update at the next meeting.
Thanks. Simonetta, is that a new hand or?
Yeah, it's a new hand. I mean, and I'm just also thinking about this lady who got up in our work group session in Costa Rica, and I think she was from the Japanese registry or somewhere from Japan, and said, where are the registrars? So I think she also thought that registrars should be there, and so maybe we should just push for it some more.
I agree, and I'll reach out to Graham on that for Prague, because I agree completely that we can do more to avoid that kind of stuff. So any other thoughts about either the session that we had Wednesday morning in Costa Rica, or the session that we shared, some of us who were able to attend with the CCNSO? And I believe, Marika, is this document on the wiki for folks to review?
Yes, this is Marika. So it was circulated as well with the email yesterday of the agenda, but it's also posted on the wiki. And you know, if people have further comments that they would like to add to this, or further information or other CCTLDs that they think should be added as a useful comparison, feel free to add it and circulate to the mailing list.
Thank you. And then I would encourage the sub-teams, everyone really, but especially sub-team A, to take a close look at this document, and as we continue, because I think there's some good experience here, aside from the fact that it is mainly a registry centric process. Simonetta?
I just wanted to offer one thing. I think this is a great list, and what I would like to do is I would like to take this list and basically pass it on to the CEDAW transfer team to ask them to add their comments on this particular TLD list. And I can tell you just from talking to them that they would agree with the considered easiest process piece that's sitting right next to .nlmx.de, because they mentioned this to me specifically, that they really like working with these processes. They seem to be very easy to follow, very simple, very quick. And I remember specifically the gentleman, I think it was the .be registry, who spoke at the end of our meeting at the CCNSO session and said they went from this very secure model that was that had all these verification steps built into a model that is very quick and easy to do. And he mentioned this survey that they did with the registrars that register.be names and asked them how they felt about making that process switch, and they said that they loved it. They went from I don't know what satisfaction level to 90% of the people saying they love the new process. And then I asked him, and that wasn't spoken out loud in the room, I guess, if he felt that as a result of this, going the less secure route, that he would see more hijacking cases or more complaints about issues with transfers, and he said no. And I asked the same question to Sabine Dodderer from the .de registry and asked her also, because I said to her, look, we're looking at this right now and we're discussing what needs to be in a good process, and it seems to me that the process with the .de registry is following is very simple. However, it doesn't have a lot of these check steps built in. Do you think that, or do you have any reason to think that because of this, your process is more prone to hijacking cases or abuse? And she said no. And one thing that they are doing is they basically they set auth codes for names at the registry level, and these auth codes expire after, I believe, 30 days or something like this. And because of this process where these auth codes don't live forever, and that's kind of different from an idea that was bounced around earlier with FOAs maybe having to be time limited, that seemed to kind of provide a little bit of security in their process there. And other than that, it's a very simple thing where you don't need a lot of confirmation left and right to go through the process, and she does not feel that this leads to more abuse than other registries in her point of view. Just wanted to share this with the group.
Thanks, Simonetta, and I think that's an astute observation. You know, one of the things that we continue to discuss in this group and in previous transfers is that balance between portability and security. And I think that, you know, BE is definitely a good case study in and testing that balance where, you know, the security is so elaborate and so comprehensive that no one uses it versus something that's so loose and user-friendly that it's vulnerable. And I think that maybe what they're trying to say is that they feel like they've hit a good balance. Once again, acknowledging that some of that may not necessarily translate well into, say, for example, a thin registry environment like CommonNet, where some additional safeguards or at least some additional security checks might be required by the registrar just to ensure that everything is okay, because there's a limited amount of that the registry can do to protect or monitor or prevent any kind of security flaw. So I think that's a good observation. I think that one of my takeaways, if I can just kind of put myself in the queue, would be that the discussion that we had about eligibility of new versus old registrant, or gaining versus losing, or whatever terminology we settle on, I thought Canada had a good response for that, in that they don't, as a registry, they don't they don't really take any pre-check the eligibility at the time of a transfer. They do a post-transfer check. So they let it go through, and then it's up to the new registrant to demonstrate that they meet the eligibility requirements. Otherwise, they face the same sanctions, cancellation or suspension, if they do not, that a new registrant would face. And I think that perhaps is a good model for how we might tailor a proposed process so that it is compatible with the sponsored TLDs and with the upcoming community TLDs. So I think BE is probably a good model for security, and CA was probably a good model for discussion of eligibility. And if we can just maybe think of those as case studies, I don't say that we need to copy them wholesale, but I think that there's some good lessons to be learned from those two. So any other takeaways from our meeting with the CCNSO? And once again, we will make sure that this document is widely available for anyone that wants to take a closer look, and I would encourage everyone to do so. Okay, Michele, you want to close us off on this topic?
Yeah, I think it was good. I just think it was very, very short. It would mean for a lot of these things, there's this ridiculous fear of within the GNSO of talking to the CCNSO. And the thing is, a lot of the CCTLDs, they've already resolved most of these problems. And, you know, the resolutions that they found are backed by government, whereas ours may not be. I think it's a good idea. I'd like to see more of it. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Michele. I was a little surprised to hear that we were the first team that's ever done that to us.
I wouldn't be.
Crossover, but... and I agree, it was a great meeting. It was short, you know, I don't know. We're grateful for the time that they were able to give us. I mean, obviously they have a pretty full agenda as well, so they were able to carve out some time for us. I don't want to disparage or dismiss how difficult that might have been for them. So anyway, that's the feedback from the CCNSO, and I think that wherever we come down on this particular issue, I think that let no one say that we haven't done our utmost to reach out to the CC space from experience with registrars, aftermarket, and then going to the CC TLD organization directly. I think that that's a good whatever we come up with in terms of a recommendation, I think is its legitimacy is supported significantly by this effort. So I thank everyone who was able to attend that, and all those registrars, particularly Mark Monitor and Cito and Name Media that have and Michele Black Knight that have contributed their thoughts on this. Simonetta?
I just want to also invite everyone who is at one of these meetings, like if we do get on the agenda of the CCNSO again, or if we do get on the agenda of the registrar stakeholder group, I think it's really helpful for the members of this work group to be there when we are there, to hear firsthand what these folks are saying, because we got some really good input, and I feel like I would have missed out on something if I had not been in the room.
That's a good point, and certainly thank everyone who was able to attend. Okay, we have now, looks like just over, or just under 15 minutes, just over 10 minutes remaining in our call. I'd like to use this time to get some quick updates from the sub-team, and in recognition that they may not have had a lot of material updates since Costa Rica, then perhaps since our discussion of the overall work plan, the sub-team leaders can give us an update on where they believe that their efforts will tie into that plan, and if there's any ideas to accelerate that or compress some of those efforts, we could discuss that as well. So maybe let's start alphabetically and go with Bob. And by alphabetically, I mean B comes before S. So go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, James. This is Bob. Let's see, at this point, the survey was reviewed amongst the sub-team and then forwarded to the working group. We didn't get a lot of feedback, but what we did get, we have incorporated, and Marika was kind enough to put it into actual survey form. That has gone back out to the sub-team, so I'm awaiting their comments. And once that's done, I expect that by the end of the week, we'll send the survey in survey form to the working group for any final comments. At that point, we'll be ready to go and send it out to the ultimate recipients of the survey. So I think we're getting close, and hopefully we'll have it out in process very soon.
Okay, thanks, Bob. And Simonetta, any updates with your sub-team or plans for the near-term future?
Well, there's not much of an update since Costa Rica. I sent around a doodle yesterday to ask for when people have time to get on the next call, and it looks like tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern is where so far everyone has time, but James, I think we're waiting for your response. So as soon as I have all the responses back, Marika will schedule the next call for this team, and we'll regather and keep working.
Okay. Thank you, Simonetta. Can't believe that only took 3 minutes, so I appreciate both the sub-team leaders for their brevity. Any other thoughts or suggestions or concerns, comments on the activities of the sub-team or particularly their schedule? Okay. I don't see anything in the queue. Well, at this point in the in the agenda, then we would typically take another look at Charter Question A, which is the change of control mechanism. One of the things I wanted to point out is that we sort of kind of scratched the surface of a concept document that you know has been kind of circulated amongst the folks on Sub-Team A, and I know we discussed a couple of different things. I think the first one was we got bogged down a little bit in the terminology, and then we got into maybe the second or third item on the list, and then we just kind of ran out of time. So the question for this group, and I would hope that we get a lot of folks who were present in the room to weigh in on this, was that a useful use of meeting time? Should that be done? Is that something that the group expects the ideal process sub-team to work on and then come back to the group with something, or would the working group feel maybe shortchanged if that were the case? Is this something that's better addressed on the mailing list, or should we proceed as we began in that group? So if we can just spend just a couple of minutes discussing the thoughts from the folks who were either on the call or in the room in Costa Rica, for that session, because my personal feeling is that I thought it was very useful. It was a very substantive and detailed conversation. However, if we do that on each call, then the schedule and work plan that Aubrey has drafted starts to go out the window in a big hurry. So I guess I'm looking for feedback from the group on where do we strike that balance so that folks feel that we've tackled those things fairly, but haven't you know invested the next 8 sessions in that list. I see Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, James, so I'm sorry, I may have misunderstood the question. Was it how the comments on the use of time at Costa Rica, or were you looking for something else? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm just saying, based on our experience in Costa Rica, even small items, I thought, that were fairly small and non-controversial on that list, in fact, provoked or prompted a very lengthy discussion. So the question is, do we want to continue going at it from that angle, or do we want to say, okay, these aren't baked enough, we need to send them back to the ideal sub-team and then have a more finished product coming back before we tackle that as a group? Or does the working group feel like, you know, no, we're not ready to delegate that that much of the work to a sub-team, we really need to discuss that? I'm trying to find that balance there, Bob, between efficient use of the time and making sure that that all this stuff is happening, you know, out in the open and that everybody has a chance to weigh in.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I guess my comment on the meeting itself was that it would seem seamless and somewhat more effective working it in the room where we were all together. And I think we did maybe get on a little bit of a rat hole, but it's, I think, somewhat necessary sometimes to just get these things kind of hashed out. But yeah, exactly. I think it is a balance. There are times when everybody just needs to be heard on things, and you know, we'll probably just need to have those out, and it's just gonna, you need 9 months to have a baby. I think it's just gonna take that time sometimes. You know, other times I think we can effectively delegate. You know, I think the two sub teams right now is a perfect way to you know, grab things and delegate them and do a lot of stuff offline. So, you know, I'm not sure there's a pat answer or a formula. I think it probably is on a case-by-case basis. But I think the way it's going so far, it seems to be working pretty well.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. I think that's, if I can summarize your thoughts, is that really just, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. We have to do that on the calls to make sure everybody has a chance to hear it out. And then maybe just it falls to me to keep it from, you know, going too far down a fractal rabbit hole, right? Okay. We'll go ahead then next with, I can't see who came first here, so I'll go ladies first with Avery and then Mikey and then Simonetta. So Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I think that discussions were useful. I think, though, those discussions, when we're not in a face-to-face meeting, are things that should be happening either in comments on wikis or on the mailing list, so that the questions that were put to the group in the physical meeting can perhaps also be put to the group by the sub-teams and others, but as primarily discussions on mailing lists. And I think that as the running chair, when we get past one or two comments on something in one of these teleconferences that shows there's further discussion to be done, it should be moved to the list. And I think we have to get better at moving discussions to the list after we see, oh, this isn't as quick and easy as I thought. Cool. Let's discuss it more on the list. Thanks.
Okay, good advice. Thank you, Avery. And I agree that once we kind of, we need to have a kind of an agreed-upon detecting a threshold for detecting when we're in one of those issues, and it needs to be moved to the list. Mikey, go ahead.
Thanks, James. It's Mikey. Just a comment on the vociferous announcement by McKaylee on the chat that he will not touch a wiki. So I guess we'll have to figure out another way to do that. In terms of the discussion stuff, this is sort of the transition point. If we're going to really gun for Prague, I think we're going to have to recognize that the kind of discussion that we've typically been having on these calls is brainstorming. It's very wide-ranging, and it tends to increase the number of options to think about. And I think that given the timeline we're on, we're going to have to change our discussion from broadening-type discussion to narrowing. And so, again, this gets back to the report. It seems to me that one approach is to take your list of suggestions, the concept list, the that you pushed out, James, to the ideal process team. And essentially just staple that into the report as a first draft set of recommendations. And then we, on the list and on the calls, start editing those and refining them and narrowing it down to a final solution. And so for the very first time in my life, I'm going to actually oppose the idea of wide-ranging conversations on phone calls or in face-to-face meetings right now. I mean, not emphatically like McKaylee, but we do have to get into this narrowing mode now. And I think one way to do that is to start drafting the report, complete with recommendations, even though they're preliminary, and we should probably stamp draft all over it so that people don't hit the panic button if they read our mailing list. But if we aren't careful, we will debate this one right past our deadline, I think.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I agree that we should probably start treating at least, maybe having a placeholder for findings and recommendations as a skeleton policy, with the proviso that it either A is going to change or B it will. We haven't even really concluded whether we need a policy at all. Although I think that seems to be the general direction of the conversation. So I'm going to go to Simonetta for the last comment of the day, and then we'll close up the call. Simonetta.
I was just thinking that we could take tomorrow's call in the sub-team to take a look at this list and at least within the subgroup come up with our first draft version of the thing that we're going to put forward as the initial draft recommendation piece, and then maybe identify the questions that we still think are open and need to be discussed in further detail from amongst these principles, and also ask ourselves if we believe this list is complete, and then take this back to the larger group next week to introduce this back into the group and ask for comments, and maybe put it to the mailing list for comments or maybe put it in some kind of other form where people can comment on each specific item so we can gather these comments offline and work through them in the coming week.
Okay, thank you, Simonetta. Okay, all right, everyone. Well, we're just about a minute past our time here. Hago, if it's very quick, I will let you finish the call. Go ahead.
Yes, I think the comment is in email is easier, and you can reply to the comment at any time. Thank you.
Thank you, and I think that that's also a good observation. So that's the wrap for this week's call. Number of items to follow up then on the list. I think we look forward to both the sub-teams continuing their efforts this week, and I do owe you a Doodle response from that. I'm working on that now. So thanks, everyone, for your time, and let's take the schedule to heart, and let's push forward then towards June 1. I'm still optimistic. I think that we can make that, and we can continue to find ways to accelerate the process. So, thank you.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thanks. Bye now. Thank you. Good night.
Ricardo?
Thank you.
Please stop the recording.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your help on the call, Rick.